Jesus, we give you praise in this house. Glory to God forever. I just feel like the Lord said, I want you to linger here for a few moments. Why don't you just begin to praise Him all over this house? Come on, begin to worship and pray in your own way. Just express your worship. Hallelujah. There's no right way or wrong way. Just express yourself to the Lord. Just feel the liberty to do that. Feel the liberty to worship God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to love on you, Jesus. We just want to love on you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you stretch your hand toward me today? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is the Word. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, for coming. and showing us the face of God, showing us what life is all about, giving us redemption, giving us healing, salvation, most of all, eternal life. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to just fill this place, anoint your servant to bring forth the word, and anoint your people to hear it. May it fall on good ground and produce a great harvest. Holy Spirit, touch us today. Draw us closer to you. I pray that you would save the lost. I pray that you bring the backslider back home, Lord, that person who's away from you. Lord, I just want to thank you again for the four souls that were saved at the funeral service yesterday. All the praise and the glory and the honor belongs to you. God, you're good. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you. We're just praying that you would meet with us in a powerful way throughout the remainder of this service. And we'll give you the glory and the praise. Anoint these altars, Father. Help us to respond to your spirit and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you be seated. Praise the Lord. It's so good to have our friends from Pennsylvania with us again. They usually here once a year or so, probably come see their family who lives here in Asheville. We're so glad that you're here with us again. God bless you. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the wonder of Advent. The wonder of Advent. Advent is defined this way: a coming into place, view, or being, arrival. Or it could mean the coming of Christ. There's three different definitions here from dictionary.com. Number two definition is the coming of Christ into the world. And number three, the period beginning four Sundays before Christmas, observed in commemoration of the coming of Christ into the world. Church, the advent of Christ changed everything over 2,000 years ago and continues to change everything today. Let's unpack a few important ways this happens. First of all, Advent, the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, gives us a living picture of who God is. Christ coming into the world put a face on God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him, Jesus, all things were created, heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. This is what we mean by incarnation. God came to the earth, wrapped in a human body. The God of heaven came to live among us that we might know who he truly is and what he's truly like. He came to teach us how to love one another, how to serve one another. He came to die for us that we might be forgiven. The Son of Man, the Bible says, came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to imagine with me this morning what it would be like if God in Christ had never come to the earth. Because you see, we get into this mold of, because that's what we've always heard and what we've always been taught. We've just come to accept it for the way it is. Jesus came into the world. But what if he hadn't come? What if he decided he didn't want to come? What would it be like for us today? There would be no Christmas. There would be no gifts symbolic of God's greatest gift. There would be no Christmas carols or hymns. There would certainly be no Christmas trees. There would be no parties and the ornaments on the trees and all the celebration that this time of year brings. There would be none of that. Because how do you know that the reason for the season is Jesus Christ? He's always been the reason. He always will be the reason. The world doesn't understand that. It's so commercialized in the world. But I'm here to tell you today, we've got to keep Christ in the middle of Christmas, because that's what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. Imagine what it would be like if he had never come. Without Jesus, Mary Magdalene would have died in her sin. Matthew still would have been a traitor and a despised tax collector. The Roman soldier would have continued his cruelty. Peter, James, and John would have done nothing more with their lives than fish for a living. The Apostle Paul would have never been more than a cruel Pharisee that was steeped in legalism, who tried to keep the law but never could do it. The people who needed healing while Christ was on earth would have remained broken in body and spirit. The lame would have still been lame, and the blind would have remained in their darkness. The deaf would have lived in silence. We would have never heard these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, don't let your heart be troubled." We would not have heard any of that. This is why we sing about Emmanuel. This time of year, God, meaning God with us. He was with us over 2,000 years ago, and He's still with us today. He's right here in this present moment with us. Anybody thankful that God is still with us?
Amen.
He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, but the Bible says He will go with us all the way to the end. He showed us what He was like, and His name was love. He was a friend of sinners. He showed love and compassion to the outcasts of the world. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught us not to use the values of this world to determine our worth. He said, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And his teaching were totally contrary to the things of the world. And that is why today that we must honor and we must value the Word of God and what He taught us. And what He taught us our worth is. And our worth is only found in. Secondly, Advent promises freedom from bondage and shameless sin. Anybody thankful for that today? It promises freedom from the bondage and the shame of sin. Think for a moment of the worst thing that you've ever done. I know you don't want to think about those things. You want to forget all of them. But I want you just to go there just for a moment. The thing that makes you feel the most shame. And then think of what it would be like if Jesus had not come. And you couldn't be forgiven for your sin. What would that be like? Your guilt would never be relieved. The condemnation would always be hanging over you like a dark cloud. And I'm so happy to report this morning, since Jesus came, forgiveness has come to those of us who receive the grace that Christ came to offer. We talked about grace this morning in our Sunday school class. I don't know about you, but I can't get enough of it. I'm so thankful for it. It's unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Matter of fact, we deserve death. We deserve to hang on the cross. But Jesus said, "Here it is." God demonstrated His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. While we had no idea who He was and cared nothing about Him, spitting in His face and walking in a way contrary to His will, He said, "I love you, and I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to keep on giving myself for you." That is true love. Jesus had never come. We would only have commandments to follow that we could never meet. And we would never hear the great words of the New Testament like Romans 8 and 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If Jesus had not come, we would not hear those great words in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, which says, "If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." If Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't hear those wonderful words in the New Testament found in Galatians chapter 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father,'" which literally means daddy. Anybody here thankful for the ultimate daddy? I'm talking about the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ." I'm here to tell you this morning, we're part of a royal family. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to shout today. Hallelujah. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If Jesus had never come, the woman called an adulterer would never have heard the words, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and lead your life of sin." If Jesus had not come, the thief on the cross would have never heard those unfathomable words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." about transformation. We were talking about this in Sunday school class. You see, the grace of God doesn't just come to forgive us. The grace of God comes to change us. If there's not a change of lifestyle, then the grace of God has not truly influenced you the way it was designed to. Because the grace of God begins with this beautiful salvation. You do nothing to deserve it. You can't earn it anyway. It's a free gift. And so you receive this thing, but now because you have received this grace, now he says, I want you to go and I want you to walk in my presence, walk in my word, walk in my spirit, and walk in holiness. It's exactly what he was saying in Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. You don't just continue in sin because you know that there's forgiveness, because you've been forgiven, and because you received the grace of God. Now you say, you know what? I'm going to keep his commandments by the help of his spirit. I'm going to walk in the word, I'm going to walk in holiness, and I'm going to walk in the favor of God, because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I say this just about every single funeral that I have an opportunity to speak at, because I believe it's so important. Not everybody's going to heaven. Newsflash. Because that's often what we think. No, we think everybody's going to heaven. I'm telling you, only those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ are going to heaven. That's right. And so we have got to understand that ourselves. We have to model that ourselves. We have to walk in that ourselves. And be ready. Be ready. Christ not only came to clean up our hearts, he came to change our hearts. He came to change our lives. I don't know about you, but this is a lifelong process of sanctification and growing in the grace and the knowledge of who Jesus is. I believe that's what 2 Corinthians 3:18 is trying to tell us. It says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed from glory to glory with ever-increasing glory by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, there should be a desire in each and every one of us as we get into the presence of God and as we submit to his word and his spirit, there should be a growing and in Christ and becoming more and more like him, becoming more like him in his nature. Amen? There should be an ever-increasing desire to get closer to Jesus and be more like him. The grace of God not only forgives us, but it changes us. I receive the grace of God to forgive me, but I also receive it to grow me up.
Yes.
To grow me up and to make me more like him. And I'm asking you today, receive the grace of God that you may grow in sanctification, that you may grow more like him, that you may resist the philosophies and the ways of the world, that you may embrace Jesus Christ, you may embrace holiness. To embrace Jesus is to embrace holiness. I didn't get any amens on that. I'm going to say it again. To embrace Jesus is to embrace holiness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Moving right along. The last and final point I want to make. All of this for one grand purpose. Advent promises a new life in Christ. Because it means, we have the hope of heaven. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful for the hope of heaven?
Yes.
And by the way, heaven is going to be so much more wonderful than you can even possibly imagine. Think about what the world would feel like if there was no hope of heaven. What your circumstances would feel like if there was no hope that they would get better. What your diagnosis would feel like if you're given a terminal, you're told you have a terminal illness and you're going to die. Because believe me, it happens every day. And it's happened to people that you know and you're close to. It's happened to one of our very own who we laid to rest just yesterday, Deborah Jenkins. I'm so glad she made things right before she
did. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
She says, I'm ready to go, Pastor. I'm ready to move forward. Sunday morning, and I said this in the funeral yesterday. I said, I would to God that some people would come up to the altar every Sunday. That's what they needed. Who cares what people think?
Right.
She made it in. Because she was willing to humble herself and say, I need to be sanctified. I'm struggling. I need help today. I need God. Please cleanse me. Please help me. Hallelujah. Just get honest. That raw honesty. I said it yesterday. I said, one of the things I appreciated about her was she was just raw and honest. Sometimes you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. She was just honest. But I will always appreciate that about her. What would you say at the funeral of a loved one if Jesus had not come? This is why 1 Corinthians 15 and 19 means everything to us. If only in this life we have hope. I'm glad I've got hope in this life. But if I only have hope in this life, I would be of all men most miserable. I'm glad there's hope beyond this life. I'm glad there's hope beyond when I breathe my last breath on this earth. I'm glad there's a place called heaven that we can be transported to. I will take ashes from the body to be present with the Lord. I'm so glad that Jesus came so that I could not only experience abundant life here on this earth, but I could know Him for all eternity. And hallelujah, I'll be with Him forever. Somebody help me praise God today. Behold for heaven. Let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Somebody help me praise God. He's got a place. Jesus face to face, and all of those who've gone before you that have died in the Lord, who had a relationship with the Lord, you're going to get to see them one day. There's going to be a great reunion going on, and every trouble and every heartache and every pain that you've endured in this life, every tear that you have shed, it's going to be worth it. Every loved one you've lost and everybody that you've had to lay to rest in a funeral service, it's all going to be worth it because you didn't give up in the heat of the battle, but you kept on pressing on. You kept praying, you kept singing, you kept reading the word, you stayed in the house of God, you kept the faith, you endured to the end, and because of that, you will be saved. Anybody know that the Spirit of God's inside of you?
Yeah.
Raise those hands. You know the Spirit of the Lord's inside of you. Well, if you're saved, you got the Spirit in you. Are you with me?
Yes.
He said that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Oh, that means you and I get resurrection too. Jesus was raised from the dead, so we will be raised too. Hallelujah! This incorruptible must put on, or this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. Why? Because there's resurrection waiting on us. There's resurrection day coming. We're going to rise up with Jesus. Just like he rose up on the third day, we're going to rise up with him. And the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ, we're going to rise first. Hallelujah. Every time I'm in a graveside service, and I know it's a child of God that we're placing in the ground, I get so excited. I can't get too excited because the family's sad. I understand that. There's that earthly sadness. But I get excited because one of these days, that body's going to come up out of there.
Hallelujah.
And it's going to join up. There's going to be a new body. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So no matter what you're facing here this morning, I know some of you are facing some tough situations and you're feeling kind of sad today. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to tell you, cheer up, because God cares for you. There is a hope for you. There is a hope beyond this world, beyond this life, and beyond your present circumstances, and beyond the pain that you're enduring, and beyond the tears that you're having to shed. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we will meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Because Jesus came, we get to know what God is like. Because Jesus came, we experience forgiveness for our sins and transformation of our hearts and our minds. Because Jesus came, we receive the promise of heaven and eternal life. What better gifts could we ask for? Having the Son in your life. I love Revelation 21 and 3. I'm starting to bring this to a close. I love what it says in Revelation 21 and 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Yes. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. I was thinking about that once again as I thought about yesterday's funeral service. She endured a lot of pain. She had cancer in her body. But don't you think, well, there's no more cancer there anymore. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She's in no more pain, no more heartache, no more suffering. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? I'm talking about a hope that's beyond our present circumstances. Jesus, you got hope. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you got Jesus, you got hope. Because if you got the Son, you got life. Because he is life. Because he's living. He's not the God of the dead, he's God of the living. So if you've got the God of the living inside of you, then you've got to be alive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If you got the Son, you've got it all. Pastor Tommy can come. I want to close with this story. Years ago, there was a very wealthy man with his devoted young son shared a passion for art collecting. Together, they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. Priceless works by Picasso and many others adorned the walls of the family estate. The widowed father looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. But the day came when the war engulfed the nation and the young man left to serve his country. And only a few short weeks after, his father received the telegram that his beloved son had been killed while carrying a fellow soldier to a medic. On Christmas morning, a knock came at the door of the old man's home. And as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself to the man by saying, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." "I'm an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. Though the art critics would never consider the work a piece of genius, the painting did feature the young man's face in striking detail and seemed to capture his personality. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away. The art world was in anticipation. According to the will of the old man, all of the artworks would be auctioned. The day arrived soon, and the art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auction began with a painting that was not on any museum's list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bid with $100, he asked. Minutes passed, not a sound from those who came to buy. From the back of the room, someone called out callously, "Who cares?" or spoke out callously, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget about it and go on to the more important paintings." There were other voices who echoed that same sentiment, but the auctioneer replied, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke, "I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. I will bid the $100. "I have a bid for $100, called the auctioneer. "Going once, going twice, gone. The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone was heard to say, "Now we can get on with it." But the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quieted the room. Someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all of these paintings? There are millions of dollars worth of art here. We demand that you explain what's going on." The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." Whoever takes the son gets it all. Whoever takes the son gets it all. He who has the son has life, but he who does not have the son does not have life. Hallelujah. Do you have the son here today? Then you get it all. Why don't you stand and give God praise with me in this place? For you got the son, you got it all. You got everything you need. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You got Jesus. Then you've got it all. Somebody help me praise him in his house. If you've got Jesus, you have got it all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got Jesus, you got peace. You got Jesus, you got joy. You got Jesus, you got life and life more abundantly. You got Jesus, hallelujah. You can make it through no matter what you're facing. Why? Because we've been laying door for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Close your eyes. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't have Jesus. If you don't have a son, you don't have anything. Some of you are running from God, questioning whether you do have Jesus. Tell me, the Bible said that you can know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is in your life, that you have him in your heart. If you want to know that with full assurance today, would you just lift your hand where you are? I want to make sure I have a son in my life. Well, lift your hand. Be honest. Okay, so several people raising their hand. Anybody else? You want to be, just be honest. I'm not asking you to come down here. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. These altars are open. You're welcome to come. They're always open, these altars are. But I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I'm here to invite you to come to Jesus, the one who gave his life for you, the one who loves you so much. bled, and died on the cross. Anybody else want to say, I want to make sure that I have a son in my life. I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus. Because he's given his all for me. Anybody else, just raise your hand where you are. Oh, I see your hand, Jesus. Maybe it's a recommitment. Maybe it's a rededication. I've gotten away from God. I'm not where I need to be. I'm backslidden, God. I'm telling you this morning, my friend, Jesus is waiting with open arms. He's here to help you in every way in your life. So run to him. Give him your sins, and in turn, he will give you his righteousness. He will clothe you in forgiveness with his precious blood. So let's call Jesus together, everybody in this place. Everybody together, let's just call the Lord. We just ask you right now. We ask you to cleanse us and to purify us. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And so now we're just committing our life to you. We're turning away from sin. We're turning to you with our whole heart. We ask you to cleanse us of every sin. Wash us and purify us in your precious blood of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I want you in my life. Because if I take you, Lord, in my life, I give it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming to my heart, changing me and transforming me. Make me more like you. Give me the strength to serve you every day, to resist temptation, to resist the ways of this world, and to keep my eyes on you, the author and finisher of my faith. In Christ's name, I pray. Hallelujah. I don't know what's going on in your life today. I don't know what you're facing. I just know that Jesus cares and Jesus is able to do above and beyond me even ask you to think. So if you need to be in this altar today and you need somebody to pray with you, I don't care whatever the situation is, we'll pray with you and we'll believe for God to touch you today. As they sing it, you're welcome to come.